As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Oh, man. Like, north side of Amory, this is coming in. Oh, man. Dear Jesus, please help them. Amen. Okay.
Goodness.
So, this is going to track along Highway 25. Unfortunately, this is cut farther, a little bit more east. So I have it slightly behind me there.
A Mississippi meteorologist who you never want to hear your meteorologist say that. I got to put it like that. But man, just a whole bunch of storms blew through the southern part of the United States over the weekend. 26 fatalities in Mississippi. We're going to get the latest with that. We have a bunch of stuff to hit today, but man, we are praying for our friends in Mississippi. Good heavens. Welcome to the Monday edition of The Dana Show. I'm your hostess, Dana Lash, sitting here with you. You can listen across the country in a town near you. You can stream the program, YouTube, Facebook, channel 247 on DirecTV as well. And I was watching, 347. Thank you, King. It changed. Channel 347, DirecTV. Thank you. A number of storms across the South over the weekend. I was just looking at the number of power outages, the number of people affected. You had, entire areas, entire cities totally destroyed. I read the story actually before I came on air of these women who survived. They called it a miracle. It was in Chuck's Dairy Bar in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, which is totally destroyed. Rolling Fork was destroyed by this tornado. They survived. These eight employees of the diner, they hid in a walk-in cooler. And that's why they're alive today. That is unbelievable. The 48-year-old owner, Tracy Harden, rushed the group into the cooler as the monster tornado descended on Rolling Fork Friday night. And literally the only thing that was left after this tornado blew through, the only thing left standing was that freezer. There was debris and rubble everywhere else. That freezer was left standing. It is unbelievable. And so when these people came out, I can't even imagine. And they said that right before Harden's husband closed that cooler door, they looked up. They saw that the roof of the restaurant was gone already as he was closing the door. That's like a movie. That whole town is gone. And it's just the freezer that stands. That is something else. 26 fatalities. Like I said, we're praying for all of our friends in Mississippi. We have a number of affiliates there, WHSY, WNIX, WYAB. We're praying for everybody in and around Mississippi, because good heavens, because there were a number of towns affected. I think none so much as severely as Rolling Fork. And it's just one of those, every now and then you get one of these monster tornadoes. The weather conditions are just right. That's what I love, spring, but man, it's also kind of terrifying, isn't it? Went from Missouri to Texas. Now, I don't know which is safer. Although I did see an actual tornado when I lived in Missouri. I actually did. I was in one in daycare that I don't remember, and we sheltered. And then I saw one, literally I saw the top of a cyclone from my house when we lived in Missouri. My kids were younger, and that was terrifying. But I haven't so far, I don't want to even say anything else because I don't like want to jinx myself. But man, we are praying for everybody in Mississippi. All right. And we'll keep an eye on all of that as well, because there are some amazing stories that have come out. But I just got to say that meteorologist right there, Matt Lobnin from WTVA, he was reporting on it. It was heading for Amory, and that was just like 11 p.m. on Friday. And he realized, he's looking at the numbers, he's looking at the map, he realizes what that means. And I love that he just stopped everything and he just said a prayer for him. Because that's real. That is real. So we'll keep you updated with any information that may develop. It was already obviously declared a disaster area. And so we'll have all of the latest for you on that. We have a few other things to attend to as we start this March week here. We have some business in D.C., and I'm going to go through all of that, but there's things brewing of a foreign policy perspective that concern me just as much, if not more, than the stuff that we're seeing in Washington. Because there's just an interesting roux being made, for lack of a better way to say it. It'll simmer for a while. But I was looking at the FAA, the person that the president had nominated to be head of FAA withdrew his name. He had zero experience for this job. I mean, it was kind of another Pete Buttigieg situation. Yeah. Zero experience. This is the administration where you actually don't have to have any kind of, apparently, experience to get the job that you want. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. You experience? No. But are you gay? I mean, what does that have to do with flying? Oh, it has everything to do with flying planes. You would be shocked. It really does. Are you, though? I mean, at least that's how they act like. They act like that. Now, we're also, John Fetterman, apparently, his hospital stay got extended for another 2 weeks. There's a lot of discussion as to where he's actually staying at in the hospital at Walter Reed. They said he's there for clinical depression, but he was hospitalized right before he went in for feeling lightheaded at a Democrat Party retreat. Some were saying that he was in the, what trauma unit, what was it, the brain, basically the brain trauma unit of the hospital. I mean, he did have a stroke, and it has impacted his ability to, I mean, literally read and respond to people and pay attention to what, I mean, he had just started his recovery. And that's all the update we have. You deserve no more. That's the way it is. That's the way they treat it. You deserve no more. But they're working on balancing his medication. I'm just not sure that I necessarily defend. I don't know if I believe that defense. Now, in the meantime, John Kerry has been making the rounds because he's defending all of the people who love to tell you all about man-made global warming, but yet they fly private absolutely everywhere. He had been asked, well, you recently switched, I read, from flying private to flying commercial, and he got very angry and said, no, I didn't. I don't fly private. I don't fly private. Except he has, and people have like the flight logs of him flying. Do people think that this isn't publicly available? Why would you lie about it? When someone's going to look, if somebody's asking you about it, it means they already know the answer. They already know the answer. Audio Soundbite 4, listen to this. This was this interview. It was pretty funny.
You recently switched, I read, from flying private to flying commercial.
No, I didn't fly private while I was in this job.
Okay.
It's just a misnomer. I've had one, maybe two private flights, which were U.S. military flights in order to get to China during COVID, right, where we were forced into that. But I fly commercially. But we're doing a lot more than just the IRA.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. He was very defensive, though. And he was defending other individuals. Like, for instance, you know, you hear Barack Obama. He's a huge supporter of pushing climate change hysteria, et cetera, et cetera. But he flew private to Australia. He's doing a speaking tour where he's getting $230,000 a pop. He and his wife, the former first lady, were pictured over the weekend deplaning from their private jet, going from the tarmac into a giant black luxury SUV, their private jet into a luxury SUV. So I don't necessarily believe these people because they would be practicing it themselves. But they're still pushing to try to implement this here in the United States. They still treat this, and this is what the administration had said, you know, previously. They act like this is, you know, the biggest, well, they have called it like the biggest threat, haven't they? They've said it's like the biggest threat in the U.S. to our security or something to that extent. They keep focusing on this, yet there's a million things happening foreign policy-wise that are setting the stage for something bad unless it's averted by a different direction. And that brings me to the VP. So Kamala Harris, let me pull this up. Now, it might seem like a side note to you, but if you've been following the show for any length of time, you know that one of the things that I follow here with very close detail is anything doing with Belt and Road, anything doing with China. Because I think this is the new Cold War. It really is. And the situation last week that was announced, the really end of the petrodollar, and how Russia is going to be doing business with Asia and South America and also Africa using Chinese currency. Now, Africa, of course, a number of nations there in which China has been trying to desperately get a foothold with their Belt and Road Initiative, whether it is acquiring the biggest cobalt mine in the world in the Democratic Republic of Congo, an acquisition that was facilitated by Hunter Biden's former firm, Seneca. That was one of those things that I think it was, let me pull this up because I had this pulled up for you. This was one of those situations. It's part of the story that Comer, Representative James Comer, had pushed. GOP oversight has the bank records of all the money that his family received from a Chinese energy company. It's all related to this. This is all related. You have this energy company that was working in coordination with the CCP energy entity, and they were helping China expand, not just with Belt and Road, but also acquiring all of these minerals because that was part of with the DRC, that was part of the deal. So Kamala Harris is going, they said, on this history-making Africa trip amid U.S.-China competition. And it's kind of like a blah, blah piece from CNN, which is exactly what you would expect from CNN, right? They said, oh, she's going to Ghana. She was in Ghana yesterday. They said that she's the first trip for her in elected office. And they said that they were previewing her trip. They said it's future-oriented, to deepen the relationship, and it's going to recognize, you know, the median age of the continent. The population's rapidly expanding. They said they were talking about climate and democracy, food security, women, blah, 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 regional security, women empowerment, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a touch on, well, they believe Africa's critical to addressing global challenges. And I feel as though in between some of these lines of wokery, because they said that she's going to see China's influence when she flies into Zambia. Because the airport, the international airport into which she's flying into, was designed and built with Chinese money. Zambia, by the way, side note, was it Zambia, I believe, maybe Zaire, that the rail, the light rail that was in California, the company that was trying to do the light rail system that ended up leaving because it was so corrupt and it was costing like $1 billion a day, they ended up going to Africa. And this French firm ended up working with China and they built a light rail system there. So she's going to be seeing she's coming in basically on Belt and Road. This is incredibly important because this is an administration that helped facilitate this when Joe Biden was vice president still. It seems too little too late. And we're going to dive into this a little bit because I'm telling you what, it might not seem like it's huge now. This is all going to come into play in the next 5 or 10 years. The stage is being set. And we'll discuss more. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So TSA has officially determined that peanut butter is a liquid, and travelers are warned that you cannot take a full-size jar of peanut butter on the airplane. That's their new decree. They put it out on social media. Because apparently has that actually been like a source of contention? Why does someone need to take a giant jar of peanut butter anyway? I think you should be able to if you damn well want to, but I'm just actually curious as to the need for an entire full-size jar of peanut butter on a flight. I mean, is it like some special kind of PB that you can't get nowhere else? Is it coming from a special place that, you know, has a certain kind of peanut butter? I don't know, but they're saying that it's a liquid, and because it can be spilled, spread, sprayed, pumped, or poured, that I guess that makes it a liquid. They said it has no definite shape and it takes the shape dictated by its container. I hate that this is what we're doing, but also, a tiger escaped. They did find two tigers. There were two tigers that escaped a Georgia zoo after tornado damage their enclosure. The town of 1,500 people were told to stay inside by police. It was a wild animal safari in Pine Mountain, Georgia. But they did thankfully find the two tigers. They told everyone, thank you for your understanding and concern this very difficult time. Oh my goodness. Kanye West says that he apparently is no longer an anti-Semite because he watched a Jonah Hill movie. Next. Grimes changes her and Elon Musk's daughter name from a bunch of consonants to the letter Y, the symbol for curiosity. And we're following this story coming out of Nashville, Covenant School, where a killer with a firearm decided to open fire. He was taken out. We're still getting confirmed injuries, fatalities. We'll bring you the latest. Stay with us. I've talked a lot about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun over the years, and it's no secret how much I love it. It's become the go-to shotgun for law enforcement and home defense, and for a really good reason. But why am I such a huge fan of the Kel-Tec KSG? Well, like everything that Kel-Tec invents, it created an entirely new class of shotgun. And the one that started it all is the KSG shotgun. It's the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells. And with its dual tube mags, offers a capacity of 12 plus 1. So that's 6 rounds in each tube plus 1 chambered. If you prefer 2 3/4-inch shells, even better, because the KSG holds 7 plus 7 plus 1. That's 15 shells. You cannot ignore the downward shell ejection either. It makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's brilliant design. See the Kel-Tec KSG up close and personal at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Again, to find out more, visit KelTecWeapons.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
As you have mentioned, we have had today, this afternoon, a wide-ranging discussion. We have discussed a number of important topics, including the importance of concepts and priorities such as freedom and liberty, which are, to be sure, at the core of who we are as Americans and who Ghanaians are.
Golly, this is just bad, man. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Your lovable curmudgeon. So this is why this is not just a sidebar. So Kamala Harris, the VP, is being deployed to Africa by the administration to basically go, no, we love you, Africa. We swears. Swearsies, promsies, BFFs. That's what this is about. Because this has not been, there hasn't been an effort from this administration to counter China's Belt and Road. This is incredibly important because we've talked about this on the show before, where to take over, to defeat, or to conquer a nation, you don't have to use munitions and boots on the ground. You can use construction. You can use finance. There are a number of ways to conquer a nation. And Belt and Road is not about a partnership. It's about spreading China's influence. This is what gets me. For all of the neocons who talk about Russia and they say that Russia has imperialistic desires, et cetera, et cetera, I think yes and no. I think Putin does, but I think that the Kremlin also realizes they have nowhere near the capital or ability to even see that ever come to fruition in this lifetime. That's not to say they are not a threat. They're not the most pressing threat. China does have imperialistic desires, and they've already shown a devotion to exercising that. Now, that's not calling for boots on the ground or anything else either, particularly when there's a number of things that can be done without having to do any of that before even considering any of that. That's why another reason why I get mad at some individuals who are not neocons, because when you say that China's the more pressing threat and they do have imperialistic tendencies, you always get, you know, the mouth breathers out there who go, well, I guess you just want war with China. No. Lunchbox, that's not what anybody's saying. What people are saying is that, you know, there's a bunch of other paths we can take before it ever gets to that point. But unfortunately, this administration hasn't prioritized any of it. I mean, they've been focusing on wokery with military. They've been focusing on wokery basically with every single facet of government. That's what they've been focusing on. And it's unfortunate because now we're in this position where you have Kamala Harris, who's been dispatched to Africa, telling them, I mean, that you just heard her remarks. That sounded stupid. We have had today this. I mean, this is literally her quote. We have had today, this afternoon, a wide ranging discussion. We have discussed a number of important topics. She said the same thing twice. Two things, two times. She has no idea. This is not her beat. She has no idea how to handle this. So she's supposed to be going over there. And as I was saying, you know, as she goes over there, she's flying into a Belt and Road airport in Zambia. The international airport there in Lusaka, financed with CCP dollars. And she's going to drive down roads on her way to these events that were paved using Chinese dollars. And I'm sure that when she is in the city, she's going to see Chinese ads. Now, what gets me is I was reading some of the write-ups on this, because people have to always go back to the previous administration. You know how Trump had said, they said, oh, well, I read one thing. I think this is over at CNN. They were saying that, how Trump was describing blank hole countries. And now all of a sudden, if that's what it takes to get these legacy press entities to pay attention to what China's been doing for the past 15 years, then, you know, by all means, whatever. They've been developing major inroads, whether it's infrastructure, the finance, we've talked about that. With Charles Payne, the high interest loans. Like I said, you don't have to conquer a nation with military action. You can do it with finance. And that's what they've been doing. High interest loans to where they can't even hope to ever pay them back. They give them shoddily constructed infrastructure. And what is China get in exchange? They want to be able to control minerals. The very minerals that we would absolutely be dependent on if Joe Biden and Democrats had their way of forcing everyone into green energy, because A, number one, China has the undisputed monopoly on it, on all of the rare earth elements. And number two, there's not even enough REE in the, on the planet to support what they want, what Democrats want. And that's the point. Some of y'all be walking. You'll own nothing, eat bugs, and be happy. So what is her goal there? What can Kamala Harris say? Is she, can she sit here and say we're going to be a good partner with trade, etc.? What can she say? See, China, if you want to discuss again, I go back to the imperialistic notions. Everyone always focuses on, you know, the imperialist Russians of past. China is making that happen, not with war, but with finance and infrastructure and Belt and Road. That is the entire point of that. Everyone will be owned by China. That's the point. That is their evidence of imperialistic desire. And all these people who just want to focus on Russia and Ukraine cannot recognize this, which is so devastatingly dangerous. So she's supposed to, in some way, convey the United States' sincere commitment to Africa and that they would be a good partner. The United States would be a good partner for their economic stability going in the future. Do you think that they believe it? So she's meeting in Zambia. She's going to meet with tech entrepreneurs in Tanzania. She's meeting with women entrepreneurs in Ghana. Now, Jill Biden just went to Africa last month. The first lady went there last month and was focusing on parts of East Africa dealing with famine, etc. But she went with CNN as a special, Jill Biden abroad. And she talked more about 2024 with the press than she did actually with about Africa, which that kind of seems like, what's the point then? You know, you're going over there. What's the point? If you're going to just focus on the election and not the whole purpose of you saying that you're going over there for, what's the point? You also had the U.S. ambassador who went over there. Antony Blinken was visiting Ethiopia and Niger last week. Biden apparently is going to visit later this year. And they're trying to highlight, oh, all of this. This is, you know, all our ties. But there's some serious issues. And that is China. And the U.S. does not want to engage. They don't. I mean, goodness, they don't even want to entertain the idea of sanctions or anything. Their Belt and Road initiative is just all around the globe. Now, I will say there is an opportunity. Let me pull this up. So the U.S. and the EU have been trying to compete with China in this. And I know this is where some people are like, oh, but the spending, etc. I know, in a perfect world. Because apparently China, their investment did drop. And they're also spending more money on their military right now. So there's a piece that's a couple of different pieces. Let me pull this up. That gets into the tightening of the belt, so to speak. And the people who are feeling it most acutely, and this comes by way of Reuters, is Kenya. Because they were creating all these highways, etc. Everything's kind of slowed down. They don't have enough money. They were doing a light rail system that was going from Mombasa to Uganda. They don't have enough to finish that. So what this is doing is it's creating a little bit of distrust from some of the leaders in some of these nations with China. And so this is what the U.S. is doing, is exploiting this. And this is why there's like the series of people from the United States just bam, 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 going over there, giving them attention, giving them press, talking about what, you know, the leaders care about, etc., as a way to get an in while China deals with their financial uncertainty. And by the way, the financial uncertainty with China is the thing that's holding them back from fully trying to realize their imperialist dreams. They said that Chinese bank financing for infrastructure projects in Africa to the Belt and Road Initiative nations, which there's 40 there, fell from $11 billion to $3 billion. And that's an international law firm, Baker McKenzie. That was a huge, huge blow to these governments that had made these deals with China. So this is why she's going over there. And if you notice, they're building it up to Biden going. So they send these ambassadors, they send other lawmakers, they'll send Blinken, they'll send the first lady. Now they're sending the VP, and then the president is going to be making the next trip. So that is, and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about this with Stephen Yates coming up, but this is the opportunity. I will say at least they're sending people over and giving it some attention. But do you honestly, going back to Kamala Harris, you heard this woman talk. Do you honestly believe this woman is the woman to do this? Audio soundbite 18. She just doesn't sound confident or even capable, really. Listen.
But going forward, let's recognize that there are a number of things on the issue of the economy as a whole that we must do, putting aside the pandemic and the war in Ukraine, even before the two became an issue for our nations. And a lot of that work is the work that I'm here to do on the continent.
Yeah. So the economy. What are you thinking, Kane? She's bad.
Again, it's constantly like she's trying to fill a 1,000-word essay with just useless words.
If I was in the audience listening to her, I would think, you didn't send your best people. You didn't send your best people. All right, so moving on here. I don't know if you guys, I'm going to change, slightly not even involved in politics. I saw John Wick Friday night, John Wick 4. Yeah. Anyone who says, Kane and I were talking about this on break, because there's so many bad movies out there, there's so much wokery and garbage, I get very, very protective of good films. This is the best action film this year. It really is. It is the best action film this year. It is a nonstop throat punch. It is amazing. I was telling you, we were talking to Taron Butler, who's the weapons trainer for this film. Oh my gosh, it is so realistic. You're not pulled out of your suspension of disbelief because someone just nonstop fired, you know, something that you know for a fact only holds like 15 rounds and they fired like 50,000. It's so good. It is so good. The fight choreography, the weapons handling, the characters, the sequences, the cinematography, the soundtrack, the scoring. It is all so good. I never tell you to go to the theater because I'm not a... I just, you know, germs. That's the last place where I get, you know, I got to... You know, The last time I was in a theater, I saw Maverick. And then this is in John Wick 4. I would go see it two times in a theater. It is that good. It was so good. And my youngest saw it yesterday. He went with his friends and saw it yesterday. It is such a fantastic movie. It is the best one of the franchise. So anyone who sits here and tells you that it's not good, never trust that person again. They will betray you. Never trust that person. Anyone who says it's not good should never be trusted on anything that has to do with entertainment, film, fun, freedom, or life, ever. Anyone who says that. So it is so good. You've got to go see this film. I don't want to tell you anything about it because I'm afraid I'm going to give something away. But there's so many instances in it where I'm like, oh my gosh, and this scene. I can't even talk about it to these guys in the studio because none of them seen it yet. So I have to sit here and just like, think to myself, it's ridiculous.
Were there guns in it?
Yes, there were some guns in it. Okay, sidebar to this, because I know we got to get going. So when Taron was on, we were going to show the intro for John Wick, or like part of John Wick, and Juan was telling us, well, you know, we got to be careful, you know, with kind of just going to, look, love DirecTV, they've been good partners. But, you know, they're a little, they're trying to play, you got to give them credit, right? They do not engage in censorship, but they also are trying to keep everybody happy. So I guess they just didn't want headshots, right? I guess that's what it was. They didn't want a whole bunch of series of headshots. So we were kind of laughing about it. And I'm like, we should just only have the scenes where he's holding and petting dogs, because then everybody's going to think that John Wick is just about him and his dog. It was just, We ended up, we made it work. It was so good. But you guys have got to go and see it. It's in theaters. They're not paying me to tell you this. I just think you need to see it because it's a good movie. And there's a lot of like-minded people involved in it. Just saying. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
Make sure you go and subscribe to Substack Chapter and Verse. I send a lot of good stuff up about that. I was thinking of writing up like a John Wick review, but then I thought, I mean, it's going to be all caps lock with exclamation points and excitement, and it'll just be, basically, you'll get it and you'll open it up and it'll just be, it's that. Whatever that is. I don't know. I probably just like called someone's dog or I brought a raptor back to life. I don't know what just happened then. It's so good though. Oh, I wish you guys had seen it so we could talk about it. You're killing my soul, Kane.
Sorry.
Gosh. All right. So coming up in our second hour, what's going on in D.C.? We got the latest. The grand jury in the Trump case. They're meeting today, but you know, they also have a ton of other cases that they're looking at. There's no guarantee. We're going to get into all of that and more. Stick with us. Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Briefing. And I can tell you that Congress has not received a classified briefing around the allegations of national security risks regarding TikTok. So why would we be proposing a ban regarding such a significant issue without being clued in on this at all? It just doesn't feel right to me. And additionally, this case needs to be made to the public. We are a government by the people and for the people. And if we want to make a decision as significant as banning TikTok, and we believe, or someone believes, that there's really important information that the public deserves to know about why such a decision would be justified, that information should be shared with the public.
Well, it is shared with the public, Lockhead. It is. Welcome back to the program. I mean, there's only so much. She loves hearing the sound of her own voice. She really does. She's no different from that crazy theater chick who was the disinformation board. What's her face? Scary McNanny Fee, whatever Nanny McPhee, scary face. I don't know, that broad. Anyway, welcome back. Top of our second hour. Happy Monday. Dana Lash with you. So it already is public. Look, I get it. There's a lot of discussion about data, which I'm going to get to in a moment. First and foremost, can we stop saying that this is an independent company? Because it's not. That's the big difference right here. This is not like Facebook, and it's not like Twitter, which we all have our own issues with. The argument with TikTok is different because TikTok was created with, is still ran in partnership with the CCP. There is not a singular business in China that is allowed to operate without being a part of the Communist Party of China. The CCP runs everything. This isn't hidden knowledge. This is public. So I'm not quite sure what else she doesn't understand with this. I mean, her not understanding what this means does not mean that the information isn't public. I mean, that's just kind of a dodge for ignorance. It's a state player. It is a government entity. It is not in this independent business that can be compared with other businesses that stand apart from and operate without the oversight of a government entity. And this, by the way, to bring in the Twitter and Facebooks, when they began colluding with this administration to suppress speech of individuals who wanted to dissent either about the quote-unquote vaccines or about CRT or anything else, it was that collusion, that association that they were making that everyone objected to. And so with TikTok, it is that times 11. This isn't just an association. TikTok is part of the CCP, part of Chinese government. And this is all public. None of this is hidden. There's not been a single bit about this that hasn't been transparent. So this is what makes it different. It is a state agent of a geopolitical adversary. Now, what do they want with Americans? That's the second part of it. Everyone's been focusing on data. And I understand that. It's also weird because I know some have made the point that, you know, the U.S. had demanded, you know, apparently those who demand preventing TikTok from keeping data collected from Americans stored and controlled in China, they're talking about, what is it, the TPP and the renegotiated NAFTA. The United States had pushed to outlaw other countries from localizing vast data, American apps, and all this stuff to vacuum up from foreigners. I get it. There's a lot of debate over the data, and people are worried that someone made the point this morning that, and I think it was the representative from Florida, who had said there's going to be so much data, compromising data, that the CCP would get on individuals. And she was wondering whether or not that wouldn't make certain people who wanted to join the military ineligible because of the compromising data held on them by a foreign entity. I think that's that's one of the first valid points I've heard on this. Because my thought process isn't so much that it's the data, it is the way in which the data is used and the way in which people are manipulated. It is a tool of manipulation. And all of the stuff that you've heard about TikTok in China showing and the algorithms showing everyone something different from what is shown to people in the United States is all true. I think that it helps perpetuate division. It helps to perpetuate self-hatred. It does all of these things. We are a society who now believes that we are entitled to access the internet and believes that we are entitled to access all these apps. And then you have the government that doesn't help because you have Democrats talking about treating it like a public utility. It's none of these things. I think it's even more dangerous to treat it like that. But you could sit here and blame China and you could blame social media and you can blame everything, but it all comes down really to parental absence. But long story short, it's the division and the way that people are manipulated. I mean, the CIA is probably jealous that they're so successful at this. It's a giant psyop. That is my concern because there are people who fall for it right and left, on the right and left that fall for it. So however your data is dealt with, I think that that's a good point that has been made. And it also gets into oversharing. That's why your kids don't need to be on social media. My kids are not on social media. Whether that ends up hurting them or helping them, I don't know. But I don't think that kids should be on social media at all. And it's so bizarre to think, remember when it all first started? We were all babies. Remember when it all first started and we made fun of everybody that used it? What are you doing, sharing pictures of your sandwich? Now we're having hearings on it. It's weird, right? Yeah. It is the Matrix. Social media is the Matrix. And there are people who just cannot separate themselves from it. It's just weird. But that's the concern. Now, should they be banned for the way that, I mean, you could say, you could argue, well, it's just a tool. It could be used or not used. I mean, I agree with that. But I also think the reason, the thing that makes it different is because it is a tool of a geopolitical adversary. And that's what makes it different. And this is where I might differ from, you know, some folks, because I just don't think that geopolitical foes should have that kind of access to Americans. I don't. I don't like giving commies a pass, no matter where they are. So I believe it should be banned because it's a geopolitical foe. It's run by the CCP. Anyone who denies it, is they're lying to themselves. And if they can't even deny that simple fact, then they don't merit inclusion in the discussion. That's just the fact of the matter. Now, as it relates to, you know, social media at large, parents, you need to get your kids off social media, for real. I don't want to see no kids doing videos. I don't want to see no kids on TikTok or kids on Insta or Snapchat or anything else. Get your damn kids off social media. Seriously, mom and dad. Remember how everyone said when we were younger that TV was our babysitter? Especially us latchkey kids. Oh, TV was our babysitter. Social media now. It's weird. So that's a concern. Huge concern. Now here's, I'm going to bring this up. This is a huge story. I'm really glad that we have Stephen Yates on today. The Guardian reports that Honduras has cut diplomatic ties with Taiwan. And they said that they recognize only one China in the world. Interesting move. Very interesting move. They said they only recognize one China, and that's it. They've cut ties. Honduras is the ninth diplomatic ally that Taipei has lost to Beijing since their pro-independent president took office in May of 2016. So now Taiwan is only recognized by 13 sovereign states at this point. And the support, this was a good piece. PJ Media was diving into Honduras and Taiwan's past relationship. They were saying that it was a proxy gauge of geopolitical alignment, which I think is true, with either China or the West, represented by the U.S. So the level of political support lent to them is understood as a proxy gauge. If for any kind of business, for any kind of association with China to take place, you have to be completely vague. That's what is it? That's the policy of ambiguity that the United States practices as it relates to Taiwan. And you have to be supportive of China's one China policy. This is interesting, though, because now you've have this Honduras not wanting to even recognize Taiwan. This is on the back of Chinese currency being now adopted as the reserve currency by Russia, dozens of all these other African countries. Russia's trading in it. Ghana, and now they trade oil and gold. That's bad for petrodollar. This is rough. And the United States sent Kamala Harris to go and try to smooth this out, which I have no faith in. I'm sure you don't either. The interesting thing about Honduras, though, is a lot of this is from partly Biden's, his own hand. I'm going to pull this story up. They were accused of election meddling during the Obama-Biden situation, the Obama-Biden administration. Remember the, let me pull this. This is a piece that I had back from 2009 from Washington Times. So many Republicans are accused of meddling in this and that. But remember, Obama was very much involved in Honduras when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. She did not want to call the removal of Manuel Zelaya a coup. They had their fingerprints all they were involved in this. And the interesting part of this is that it turned out now to kind of bite the United States. Well, we knew it would, because everything that Biden touches just, well, you know what Obama said, but I would also extend that to Barack Obama as well. They meddled in everything, whether it was Libya, they wanted a nation build in Libya, Obama, Biden. Never forget Hillary Clinton endorsed the banned Muslim Brotherhood. They had been banned previously in Egypt. Now they're out again. But when you had the Arab Spring and everything happening and the riots in Cairo, Hillary Clinton had backed the Muslim Brotherhood at that point. Never forget that. They meddled in every which way that was wrong. I mean, every which way. And then they decided that they just didn't know if they wanted to call this. They didn't know if they wanted to denounce a coup or not. They just didn't know what they wanted to do. They had been involved in meddling. And now here you have Honduras. Now they're going to agree with China. This is setting the stage for some bad stuff. And who do you have there standing in the breach? Kamala Harris? Her?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Hollywood's top Native American producer is fake, says activist. One of the leading Native American figures is accused of faking her Cherokee history. Award-winning Heather Ray, 56, serves on the Academy Motion Pictures Indigenous Alliance. She previously headed up Sundance Institute's Native American program. She said her mother was an Indian, her father was a cowboy. But apparently, she also said that she had a Cherokee mother. But now, a group called Tribal Alliance Against Frauds, sad that that's even needed, is demanding the Academy and her producer drop her fake claims because they said she might be, at best, 1/2048 Cherokee. They said, you're usurping real American voices. She's a pretendian. Wow. And she's married to another Hollywood producer as well. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, they are blasting her and saying that she's, man, that's, this is like, what, the second, in the past couple of months, the second, in Hollywood. Oh, man, this story makes me so mad. New York Post has photos and video. The moment a one-year-old boy was dumped at the border by a coyote. Thankfully, Border Patrol spotted him on, they were monitoring video. They saw it on the surveillance cameras, and they were able to immediately speed over in their SUV, patrol vehicle, because he's a toddler, 1 year old. He was dangerously close to falling off into the water. I want to go at all these people for doing this to these babies. One-year-old baby. Just put right there on the edge, and then the coyote jumps back in the water and leaves. It's heartbreaking and sickening. Coming up, we're going to have the latest of what happened at the school in Nashville. We'll bring you the confirmed details coming up.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
We know at this point that this shooter is a female. She appears to be in her teens, although her identification has not been confirmed at this juncture. We know that she was armed with at least two assault-type rifles and a handgun. We are efforting now to identify her.
Mm. Horrible news coming out of Nashville, Tennessee today. And we're going to bring you the latest. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Now, as we always do, because we also have a number of, we have affiliates all over the country. We have affiliates that are suffering right now in Mississippi with the storms that ran through that state. And we're going to return to that and put some focus on that here shortly. And also we have a number of affiliates in Tennessee, including Nashville. This is heartbreaking news that's coming out now. This is all developing. And before we even break it down, We bring you what's confirmed, and we don't engage in speculation. But we will correct to a fact. This heartbreaking Nashville Christian School, the Covenant School in Nashville. There are reports coming in about the fatalities, the number of fatalities. They were saying it looks to be seven, including the killer. and very unusual, described as a teenage female culprit who entered through a side entrance and went to the second floor. Now, Lorraine, who is a contributor over at Chapter and Verse, Substack, and also moderates the YouTube discussion, noted that the first call came in at 2:13 and the killer had been neutralized by 10:27. Thankfully, a firehouse was across the street as well so that they could immediately, as soon as it was okay to do so, safe to do so, they could triage. But a teenage female. Now, there's no, obviously, there's no names of anyone. No names are being released yet. The victims were transported to Vanderbilt Hospital, and they were the ones who came out and stated the number of fatalities. They said they confirmed that they were saying that seven total. One of the we were getting different numbers on how many were children, how many were adults. Apparently, this was a K through six school, from what I am seeing reported from local news. And so as more details come in, we will bring you any of those updates. But if you're joining us, the shooting that took place at the Covenant School, a Christian school, K through six in Nashville, a teenage, female teenager, who apparently was armed with a couple of rifles and a handgun. And that's, at least that's from just some of the news reports right now. And we're still, there's still a little bit of back and forth on the total number of fatalities. I've seen six, I've seen seven. And they're still confirming which, how many adults, how many children. And it was the teenage killer apparently entered through a side door. That's what's being reported. The killer was engaged by the Nashville Metropolitan Police and is dead. And student reunification is taking place. And so, heartbreaking news coming out of Nashville. Entered through a side door. Now, before, because that's been, it said law enforcement had apparently confirmed it with one local outlet, but that's what's being reported. They're giving some press conferences. I think that they're still going to have a larger press conference wherein they make some more confirmations. But that's the latest that's coming out of Nashville. This all of this, the first call, as we said, took place at about 10:13 a.m. And at that point, the Nashville Metropolitan Police had responded and did engage the killer and had neutralized the killer at 10:27. That's coming from reports. And the killer has not been named. The only thing said so far is that it was a teenaged female, which is very unusual, incredibly unusual. So we're going to continue to follow that. We'll bring you any other developments that we get. And now Lorraine's saying that the Nashville Metropolitan Police, so they're sitting, and here's, I just saw something flash up here too. So it is seven confirmed fatalities, three kids, three adults, including the killer. So heartbreaking news coming out of Nashville today. And this also after heartbreaking news coming out of Mississippi, where an entire town was wiped away. It's been a hard several days for a lot of people. But as I said, we'll continue bringing you coverage of this. And as we get confirmed information, I will share that confirmed information with you. But I don't like to engage in speculation. And I like to wait before we get all the facts in. We don't like to get into politicization. I will correct incorrect narratives, but we just want to make sure that people know what's happening because we have a lot of affiliates. If you're watching the simulcast on DirecTV, if you're watching the simulcast on Facebook or YouTube, you know, we're a nationally syndicated radio show. So we have a lot of affiliates in Tennessee, and we have affiliates in Nashville. So we want to make sure that we're doing them a good service as well, and that we're only bringing confirmed information. So as that develops, female teenager, which is, and I will say that is incredibly unusual. I've written several books on this. I've written a lot of articles on this. and how even young teenagers, period, being mass casualty murderers is still statistically unusual, and this is incredibly unusual for females. So I don't, and again, we don't know anything else beyond that, but horrible news coming out of this. And so they're doing the parent reunification. Apparently they were gathering as well at a Baptist church nearby, and the scene's contained, and it's through, it's parental reunification, and right now just containing the scene, obviously collecting evidence, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm sure that later they will have obviously more information, and we'll hear more from the Nashville police on that. But they did engage. That was fairly quickly. They did engage, and the killer was dead, described as being dead there at on scene. So we'll bring you all the latest with that. But prayers for the Covenant School in Nashville. Just it's horrific. Evil is real. It is absolutely real. And one of the scariest things about evil, I think sometimes we have it in our heads that evil is ugly or easily discernible, and that good is beautiful and pleasing to the eye and, you know, readily identifiable. And the thing about evil is that it's so insidious. It's not. It could be either or. That is what makes it all so much more terrifying. It really does. So we'll bring you all of the latest with this information. And also, if there's any kind of press conference or anything else while we continue to be on air, we'll also bring you any relevant cuts from that too. But I do hope, because, again, it's a troubling thing. We're going to have to go back to, because people get very emotional about school security. And I do think we need to revisit. And I don't want to go further than that until we know exactly everything that happened. But if all of these reports are true, because I've seen it now at six different places, that it was a side entrance, then there's going to be a lot of questions raised about that. Now, the other heartbreaking story that we have been following as well is this just heartbreaking story that came out of Mississippi, an entire town gone, Rolling Fork, Mississippi. And I think it's absolutely stunning. I was reading the story, and I was looking at this photo of this walk-in cooler that saved the lives of these employees at this diner. And they went into this cooler and they lived. They, as the husband of the owner, he said as they were shutting the door, he saw the roof of the building come off and was just able to get that closed. And man, it's Chuck's Dairy Bar in Rolling Fork. And they've had all these aerial images. It's just demolished. And then that walk-in cooler standing. And that's where the whole building is just crumbled around it, and that walk-in cooler standing. And thankfully, many survivors, but a lot of fatalities. I think it was 27 was the number of fatalities. Massive, massive tornado, a number of storm in Georgia. I had a headline earlier about how two lions got out because a tornado damaged their enclosure. It was at Pine Mountain in Georgia? Tornado damage, and then they had to tell the town of 1,500 people, don't go outside because you got some two tigers out there running around. So they were thankfully able to get the tigers, contain the tigers, and bring them back and repair the enclosure and do all of that. But man, can you imagine being told after a tornado, oh, by the way, there's tigers out there, so just stay in your house for a little bit more, will you? That's golly. But our hearts go out to them and everyone. I just can't even. They had a drone that went over Rolling Fork. I've seen tornado damage before, being from Missouri. And when my kids were little bitty, my youngest was still a baby. We lived in Jefferson County, Missouri, and there was a tornado that came in. And I was getting the kids downstairs, and I could see because the back, the basement and all of that, glass doors, glass, you know, windows, all this. And I could see above the tree line, I could see the funnel from above the tree line. And it was one of the most terrifying things ever. And that's the time when I had, we were, my kids and I were all in the back, and this is when I, you know, now I'm ambivalent about Star Wars because all the wokery, but I had a collectible Mace Windu. This is how serious I was. My oldest son, I let him break out the collectible Mace Windu to distract him from the literal, like, tree trunks and branches that were flying by. Like, the windows were rattling. I mean, it was really weird because you could just feel the air being sucked out of the atmosphere. I mean, it was like a vacuum. It was weird. And it sounds, when you hear it, it sounds like a train. It is wild. It got real quiet and real still, and it was very green. And then all hell broke loose. And later on, the next day, we went to survey the area. Thankfully, they were building a subdivision down the road from us. And thankfully, there were only two houses that were getting close to being completed, so no one was in there. But everything that they had been done was wiped off. And you could see the path of destruction, and it wasn't even a huge tornado. But the other thing that hit me, and I took a ton of pictures, all the trees were bent, not broken. Some of them had splintered. But they were just, they were bent over, not broken, all in the same direction. And that path, it was terrifying to see that. Bent, but not broken. Some of them were splintered. I've never seen that before. My husband and I just looked at each other like, this is spooky. This is wild. But thankfully, there were no fatalities from that one. And that was not anywhere near what people in Rolling Fork are having to deal with. So we're praying for those folks. We have Florida Man. Florida Man is going to bring us a little bit of, he's going to bring us a little lightheartedness here coming up. Florida Man comes in clutch. So we've got that. Then coming up in our third hour, I know it may seem like it's something that is an aside and that you're not really following. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about Kamala Harris being in Africa, because I promise you all of these things are setting the stage for something that, if we do not change course, will absolutely be affecting you in the future. I give it 5 to 10 years, if that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, this is a great story. A security guard fought to stop an armed man wearing a devil mask trying to enter a Tampa area strip club. The guy who was guarding the door actually had MMA training. And he was known as the Puerto Rican Punisher. He thought it was a joke when he saw this guy come forward. And this was a week ago. His name's Manny Resto. And he said that he had spent 30 years working as a security guard. The 54-year-old said the guy with the mask, devil mask, was approaching him. And he thought it was a bouncer friend playing a prank on him. But then as the guy was moving, he saw that he was armed. And so he tackled him to the ground, and he also had the words kill written on his arms and all kinds of stuff that they saw later. But he took this guy down to the ground and saved a whole club full of people. And that's just, man, that's a, but his discernment came in super quick. So good for him. He saved people. Let's see here. This is, why do people do this? I mean, for real, like literally every, I don't know, month or so, we've got somebody impersonating an officer, and people act like, I guess they think that they're never going to get caught. Surely there's not this many dumb people. Well, no. So this Florida man in Naples was arrested. He was flashing a fake badge. Collier County Sheriff's Office, Jack Bowles, was impersonating a law enforcement officer. So he kitted out his car to look like an unmarked police vehicle, and he was intimidating drivers on I-75. And so apparently he was like very aggressive with it. He was pulling people over, tailgating them, intimidating them. And then he following them too close. Then he did it to the wrong car being driven by an actual cop, who immediately put him under arrest. He flashed him a badge from the same agency that this cop was from. Man. So he was taken in. Detectives are also asking if anybody else had an encounter with this guy to call them and let them know. But I don't know why people think that they're going to get away with stuff like that. It's never going to happen. Tomorrow from the Villages, I'll tell you how a Florida man had to plead guilty because he defecated on the car of an executive. Oh. Yeah. Oh. We have all of the breaking news, so much more coming up. Stephen Yates joining us in our third hour.
How many more children have to be murdered before Republicans in Congress will step up and act to pass the assault weapons ban.
Wow. So this was just minutes ago, Karine Jean-Pierre, immediately, before we know anything, immediately, you're not surprised, working to politicize this horrible tragedy coming out of Nashville. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour, Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, also DirecTV, channel 347. Yes, I got it. They changed it recently. This is horrible. I mean, we came out of a weekend where you have an entire town in Mississippi gone and 27 fatalities from a tornado. Storms ripping across the South. And then today, news coming in from Nashville. 7 fatalities, including the killer, who was neutralized by Nashville Metropolitan Police. It's reported that it's 3 children, 3 adults. The Covenant School, a Christian school in Nashville. And the suspect, the killer, described as a female teenager. Now, what we know is that apparently she apparently possessed rifles and handguns. We don't have any further details beyond that. It is very, very rare. I mean, first, mass casualty incidents, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't help anyone's heart to hear it at the time. Mass casualty incidents are rare, and it's even more rare that it is a female suspect. But for Karine Jean-Pierre to immediately go into this and using this tragedy to push a ban that would not have worked if someone's going to, because we don't even know how this individual obtained their firearms. And so to do this soon is just, I mean, it's, I'm not surprised, but it's, I mean, the assault weapons ban didn't prevent Columbine. They didn't do anything. Assault weapons bans didn't have any impact. They didn't work. I'm not saying that. The Department of Justice is saying this. The New York Times is saying this. Even Snopes, for crying out loud, is saying this. The Rand Institute is saying this. It's not the gun. I saw this quote. I'll have to abridge it just because of the language. But, you know, I got to tell you, it means something. Someone says, quote, "Why are kids so blanked up? Ask the purple-haired, non-binary, self-identifying, banana-fish, drag queen, story hour enthusiast." I don't want to speculate on things, especially when, the police are still containing the scene. The investigation is ongoing, and they're still probably identifying family members. Which is why it doesn't help that you have Karine Jean-Pierre. Her smart answer would have been, if she was asked about this, would have been, "We're going to wait for the facts to come in, and then we're going to make a determination from what confirmed information we have. We'll make a decision on that, or we'll have a response based on that." But everything has to be politicized. If this was about helping hurting hearts, she wouldn't have answered the way she did. Because it's not the gun. It never is. Side entrance? I mean, that's what was reported, is that the individual used a side entrance. Now, this coming in from Metro Nashville PD, literally just minutes ago. 3 students, 3 adult staff members from Covenant School were fatally shot by the active shooter, who has now been identified as a 28-year-old Nashville woman. This is from officially. They said 2 Metropolitan Nashville Police Department officers who entered the building and went to the sounds of gunfire engaged her on the second floor and fatally shot her. So nothing about, they haven't said, and it seems as though there's a lot of questions. This, why was she at an elementary school? This was an elementary school. It's K through 6. Why was this 28-year-old woman at an elementary school? What was the motivation? There are a lot of things that might come into play here. So this is just out. But it's not the weapon. And people can say, well, yes, it is. How do you explain that? If someone is fixated on murder, they will murder. And they will get the means to do so. You can still think that it works, but I'm telling you, and it was a Democrat administration, Department of Justice survey, and I published all of this. I'm happy to share all of this again. RAND Institute, not a, you know, big old GOP conservative bastion. The New York Times, all of this, it didn't have any impact because you are, in order, the previous assault weapons ban only focused on attachments. They only go after certain rifles. And these are the ones that are used in the fewest. Why? I think before we need to talk about any of that, we need to know, why was a 28-year-old woman at this school? What relationship did she have with this school? To shed light on the motivation. How did she obtain her weapons? Was she known to police? Because in every one of these instances, without exception, I've written about all of these. I've written two books on this. I've written about all of these. I've looked at every single one of these cases. I have followed them extensively, and I am not even remotely exaggerating when I say that in every one of these instances, every single one of these perps were known to police. Every one, without fail. Everyone. Was she? I think that needs to be determined. And if all of these, and I've collected now nine, it's a combination. Well, these are, I have five separate local media sources, and then some are independent. They talk to authorities, national sources, saying that it was a side door entrance. I'm going to wait and see if Metro Nashville PD confirms that. But if that's the case, why? What security did this school have? You can remove an instrument, but you will never remove murderous intent. Because murderous intent isn't dependent on the instrument. It will find another instrument. People who want to focus only on variables will never, ever solve the problem. Lorraine says that Nashville Metro said that it was site entrance access. So where's school security if it's side entrance access? If you're able, so this is like Uvalde. An unsecured door that someone is able to gain access to. Now, this was what brings me to my question. And if you're joining us, we're talking about this horrific story coming out of Nashville, the Covenant Christian School, K through six. Six adults, six children, not including the female 28-year-old killer. What relationship did this 28-year-old female have with the school? And the reason I ask this is because if there was a side entrance access, did she have a key fob? Was she a staff member? Was she a disgruntled former staff member? Did she know? Was she married to someone who was at the school? Something like this. Or was it an unlocked door? Because that's important to know. It's important to know because you want to make sure you can't have any kind of apathy when it comes to school security. You can't. 28 years old. You know, I was telling Kane on break, and I hesitate. I don't want to speculate, but there's killers, period, it's a terrifying aspect of humanity. And it's incredibly rare that there are females who do something like this. Because I just think female nature is to want to protect and want to sympathize. And it very much is against someone's nature. It's just jarring. It's not any less, doesn't make it any less tragic or any more tragic. It's tragic, but it is just a weird, unnerving part of this horrific story. We'll bring you the latest as it is confirmed. But for Karine Jean-Pierre to rush out and say this, you know, one of the reasons we haven't been able to really have an honest conversation about any of this, and Lord knows I've tried. I've been on a stage in an auditorium of people where I sat next to a bad cop who somehow thought I was more responsible for his job than he was, who ignored 60-some-odd calls to his department about a known entity who later went in and murdered a bunch of kids. But yet I was somehow more responsible than Scott Israel. I was somehow more responsible than Robert Runcie, who came up with the new policy for their schools that they can reduce the school-to-prison pipeline and reduce the amount of criminal complaints if they just don't report it. It doesn't exist if it's not reported. That's why he was able to get awards from Arnie Duncan and the Obama's Department of Education. But they knew. They knew to the point where that killer had to have a chaperone at the school. He was so dangerous. And they did nothing. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Like, for instance, with Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, did you know that a former Secret Service member had a student at that school? And 2 months before this happened, and I've talked to parents about this, I've also had an interview with one of the teachers at the school. It is on my YouTube page. At the time that this happened, I had an interview with one of the teachers at the school. I had to protect her identity. And she and also two other teachers who did not want to go on broadcast also confirmed this, in addition to one of my very good friends who wrote a book about his daughter and their loss at that school also confirmed it. Secret Service agent had a student at that school, and they went in. They wanted to check the school security. They went in with a stack of Post-it notes, was able to walk right into the school, and they just put Post-it notes on all of the students. And then afterwards, he met with the school and said, every one of those students I touched could have been, if I was armed and I was a killer, I could have hurt them. And the school didn't wake up, not even after that. No, the reason we cannot have an honest conversation about it is because you're talking to people who don't want to have a meaningful conversation. They don't want solutions. They want politicizing. And that's the difference. And that's apparently the impasse.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Teen overdose deaths have doubled in 3 years due to fentanyl. Teens consuming the powerful opioid, even unwittingly. This is why you should tell your kids never take anything from anybody when they're not at home. They are usually packaged in counterfeit pills tailored to look like less potent prescription medications. Traffickers have been lacing pills with fentanyl to boost the black market high. Dangerously addictive, they can also be incredibly lethal, obviously. But John Hopkins University School of Medicine saying that, you know, 1 milligram of fentanyl is the equivalent of like 50 milligrams of heroin. It is killing teenagers at an alarming rate that seems to be doubling and tripling almost every single year. And they said that we haven't seen a child mortality rate rise like this in half a century because of all of this. Up to 80% of U.S. jobs could be impacted by ChatGPT-like AI in coming years. Journalism is actually one of them. A man in California turns the tables on some squatters who moved into his mom's vacant home. His father had just passed. His mom had to move into assisted living. And so for a couple of weeks while he was settling her affairs, he lives out of state. Squatters moved in. He showed up with guns and squatted in his own house, and they had to leave. So he turned the tables on him. He does caution that he has had apparently a law enforcement background. He also was proficient with his firearms, and he knew how to de-escalate situations due to previous training. So that also goes into it. I think that's very important to add. A Harvard physicist is racing to prove that a meteorite is actually an alien probe. So this meteorite hit Papua New Guinea back in 2014. And apparently there's this expedition being financed by Harvard physicist Avi Loeb. It's $1.5 million. They think he believes that this very strange meteorite called a bunch of numbers is actually an alien probe. And he says because it's made of extremely hard rock or metal material, tough and hard enough to prove that it's not really a meteorite at all. That's actually kind of interesting. A Southwest pilot had suffered a medical emergency during a flight, and an off-duty pilot helped landed the plane. This was just last Wednesday. It was a medical emergency mid-flight, said airline officials. Southwest flight 6013 between Las Vegas and Columbus, Ohio, 6:33 a.m. The pilot had a medical emergency. He had stomach pain and fainted. Off-duty pilot from a different airline traveling as a passenger entered the flight deck, assisted the crew with radio calls. They turned around, headed back to Vegas. Everyone was safe because of that action. They have not disclosed the Southwest pilot's immediate condition as of yet. Also, Mark Robinson, North Carolina, looks like he's going to run for governor. He's expected to announce his bid. He's a lieutenant governor right now. He rose to fame when he addressed the Greensboro City Council and read them the Riot Act. And he has been a very good lieutenant governor, and he's looks to launch a bid for governor. Coming up, Stephen Yates will join us and any other developments from Nashville. Stick with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
I'm very excited about the future of Africa. I'm very excited about the impact of the future of Africa on the rest of the world, including the United States of America.
So that is Vice President Kamala Harris. Just earlier today, she's been dispatched to Africa. She arrived in Ghana yesterday. She's going to a number of different nations to talk about everything from, they had a whole bunch of woke topics, and then also female empowerment, where there are some nations over there where you could legitimately have that discussion. But then also tech and economics. Very interesting timing on a number of fronts. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We were talking a little bit about this because this comes as China is continuously making inroads in Africa through their Belt and Road Initiative. Now, they did have about a year ago a little bit of an economic disruption to where it stalled out some of their rail in different parts of Africa. And so there was a little bit of consternation from some of the some African officials because it seemed that China wasn't upholding their end of the agreement. China was dealing. They dropped by a couple of billions their spending on some of the infrastructure. But when, you know, as Kamala Harris arrived in Ghana, she came in through an airport that was financed by CCP dollars. And she went to an event that all of the roads and the infrastructure and everything else were all financed by CCP dollars. And she's going to try to make the case that Promzies, we still like you. I don't know if that's too little or too late. It's all setting the stage, if we don't change course, though, for something very bad. Joining us now, our very good friend, Stephen Yates, senior fellow, what am I saying fellow for? I have an accent. Senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, and he's the chair of the China Policy Initiative. You know, just to start this off, just to kind of, Stephen, to really get the right perspective on this. You know, everyone says that Russia has imperialistic tendencies. We've talked about this before. But really, the geopolitical opponent that does have actual imperialistic desires and is working to achieve them is China. I mean, they may not be trying to conquer through military, but they will try to do it through finance.
They sure will. And they've been practicing really hard in what used to be called the Global South, which is a lot of South Asia, South Africa, the whole subcontinent, not just the country, and in Latin America or South America, you know, all those Souths. And so where we have our illustrious vice president going is area that has been well-trodden by the corrupt machine known as the Chinese Communist Party. You're exactly right about some of these projects not living up to promises or expectations. They've even had athletic stadiums that start to crack and collapse from time to time because it turns out the Chinese are not known for quality control. And
surprise.
So a lot of these things shouldn't be like sneaking up on people. The other thing that she's not talking about is the tremendous progress that was made on AIDS across the continent of Africa because that policy was launched during the evil Bush administration. And so we have these set of talking points, a lot about climate. Turns out South Africa, the country, is one of the great coal-burning countries of the world. I don't know that she'll come and lecture them. I'm coming to talk about maybe making some batteries for all the electric vehicles she imagines in the world. But really, her level of briefing was astonishing once again. I'm so excited about the future of Africa and the impact the future of Africa will have on us. The only thing she didn't note is the future comes in the future. And then it would have been complete.
I was just thinking, boy, if we played him some of these other sound bites, which I'm sure he heard, but he'd probably he'd get so mad over it. You know, you made me think of something because I remember back during State of the Union, they had Bono there as the guest of Jill Biden. And we were wondering at the time, well, why to talk about AIDS in Africa? Well, that was a Bush initiative. And they just kind of glossed over the Bush aspect of it and sort of acted like, you know, it was them. Well, that makes sense now because I guess they're trying to pretend to Africa, like, look at all the stuff we've done. But it seems half-hearted, a half-hearted defense of themselves because they're, is that really enough? Do they really believe that that's enough to cause, you know, all of these elected officials across the African continent to rethink their association with China?
Well, those leaders across Africa, God bless them, have probably been reading the news. And like a lot of Americans, they would look somewhat jealously on the filthy lucre poured into one country on the planet in the last year or two. And they'd say, well, you know, all of these nickels you're offering to us don't add up to 1/10 of the stack you've put over there. And so here they have a whole continent of people. You'd think that vice president that likes to tout having made history and connections with this part of the world would be bringing something that's substantive that might promote development over there. But you can't really do that if you're not willing to put the fat part of the bat on the ball when it comes to what China's doing. Because not only does China bring in corruption, they also bring in their own workers. And so what happens is they come in and they buy off the leadership class, they get some privileged access to a project, they build the project, locals don't even get employed, the Chinese workers come in and do the jobs, and so all the way around, the African people get stiffed in this. And so it should be an easy sell. Even someone who speaks at a third grade level, like our vice president, should be able to talk about this and really be able to make some headway geopolitically. South Africa just conducted a military exercise with China. Why in the devil is South Africa conducting a military exercise with China?
And this comes on the heels of Vladimir Putin announcing that they're going to be working with Chinese currency, doing business with Chinese currency, the yuan, with also South Africa, South America, and Asia, basically gutting the petrodollar. That's incredibly significant on the heels of that.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's all part of sanctions-proofing authoritarian governments. Now, I don't think we should be sort of flying off at the hip everywhere around the world. Unfortunately, there's a lot of disappointing governments in the world. But we should at least be taking note that this is real strategic competition. And what we're bringing to the table is a president that is actively engaged in exactly what today? And a vice president that's jet-setting around an area that they have not even set as a priority for their administration. And if you look at the time that they spend talking about issues and the amount of money they spend, they seem to only really care about Europe, which shouldn't sell very well in Africa.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. Talking with Stephen Yates, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute. You can follow him on Twitter at YatesComms if he's not suppressed, and you can see him. This Honduras, their government has now officially openly embraced the One China policy. There's no strategic ambiguity there. The Guardian reported that they've cut diplomatic ties with Taiwan and that they have been now the 9th diplomatic ally that Taipei has lost to Beijing since they had a pro-independence president, obviously, you know, take office in May of 2016. This from their foreign ministry comes as tensions rise. Surprise or not a surprise to you? And also, what a turnaround from the election meddling during Obama-Biden in Honduras to now.
Yeah, well, I remember in the Trump administration, there were officials that would actually call out the governments of our hemisphere and in the Pacific when they played in this game of go ahead and buy my loyalty, you lucky communists. Come on over here. And, you know, here's a country, Honduras, that has had diplomatic relations with Taiwan for a long time. And there's really only one reason for the switch. It's more elite capture. They're not going to be better off as a country for having done this. They want some of those cracked stadiums from Africa built in their country, whatever. But it's not unexpected in the sense that the Chinese have won the word game. If you talk about one China as your policy, as our State Department and a lot of our government does, can you really blame other countries for following the bad example that you set in 1972. Mm-hmm. We have to get our policy right. We should be leading in this hemisphere. We should be leading in the world on this. We should dare to tell the truth that the people in Taiwan are actually their own sovereigns. And if China wants to take that away from them, they can negotiate it, but they shouldn't be able to do it just by declaring some magical one China formula. But our leaders aren't prepared to stick up for them. And so I can't really blame those in Central America for falling in line, except I will, because it's wrong. And I thought that there was supposed to be right and wrong in the world. I mean, people said that there's this war that's over good and evil. So this is evil winning and we have to stop it.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Last question on TikTok. It's very rare, although wait, not all of Democrats. And there's some legitimate questions that I understand from the right, but I don't agree with them. At least they're coming at it from a purely, you know, academic and intellectually curious, you know, position. But most of Democrats and most of Republicans are kind of on the same page about TikTok. I always kind of, you know, my wrinkles are up whenever I hear people say, well, it's an independent business, so we shouldn't talk about banning businesses. But it is an agent of state. I mean, it was, and you've talked about this. There's not a single business in China that doesn't operate or without CCP oversight. I mean, it's just the way of it. CCP is, you know, the part not so silent partner in every business in China. I don't know why that's so hard to convey to people, especially some of these younger Democrats, because it is a state agent. That's where it does differ from Twitter or Facebook. To that point, do you think that they would actually agree on something? What would banning TikTok look like, and how would China react? I mean, I would just think they would take that very personally, which I don't care, but, you know.
Well, you know, in a way, if they react personally, it's an admission that people were right.
In True, exactly.
So they're kind of stuck in this particular debate. I basically see the Chinese Communist Party as something that's different, something that's evil, it's insidious. We have no obligation to engage it. We shouldn't be engaging it. There is a principle of reciprocity where we can't do things freely in their country, and so we should not be allowing them to do things freely in ours. But beyond that, there's tons of entrepreneurship and technological opportunity out there in the world. We don't need to have the CCP version of whatever silly videos you want to get addicted watching. But it's known that they use these platforms to manipulate people. We know that they use them against freedom movements. We know that they use them to try to break productivity, hypnotize, and otherwise disrupt our culture while they try to promote positives in their culture. And so if we know that they're playing these games, I'm okay with going ahead saying, if you're going to do this as a platform, and we have some questions about where you keep and use the data, then no, you don't get to play in our sandbox. And so I think we should just set the rules, apply the rules equally to everyone. But if you happen to be someone who takes some kind of amount of investment in a Chinese Communist Party related individual or organization, well, we're just going to take a pass for now.
Yeah, there you go. Stephen Yates, as always, at YatesComms, COMMS on Twitter. Always so good to have you. Thanks for breaking it down for us.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. You too.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app, weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. I think I'm kidding. I'm not. Ben, how are you, pal?
So this is how the president started his address before he started discussing. Yeah. This is literally moments ago before he started discussing the mass casualty, the shooting that took place in the school in Nashville, the K-6 school, where there were 3 children, 3 adults. And I am at a loss for words. It was weird. That was weird. Welcome back to the end of our third hour here. I'm going to be on Fox this evening on Jesse Waters' program. I will be working on a piece for you about this horrific tragedy in Nashville today. It'll be over on Chapter and Verse at Substack. And I've had a lot of requests about cross-posting things to, you know, the website, etc. But it'll be over at Substack. And there's no firewall. I'll send it out to everyone. And there's going to be some Karine Jean-Pierre's response and some backstory there for you as well. So you may want to bookmark this one because there's going to be a lot of information in there for you. So you may want to bookmark it. And again, it's just to provide facts and perspective. I have to correct narratives, but you know, they rush to politicize. I don't want to politicize, but I will correct very disingenuous narratives. But our hearts are breaking for these people. 28-year-old female. Nashville police are speaking about this now. We have about a minute left here. Nashville police are speaking about this now. And the DA is there. We'll bring you all of the latest with us. And like I said, we have affiliates there in Nashville. And, you know, we're praying for these communities. We're praying for these communities. And we also have in Mississippi for the 27 fatalities from the tornadoes, WHSY, WNIX, WYAB, for our affiliates there. We're praying for you as well here, however you need us. So this is, we're going to continue following this story. But like I said, I'll have all of the latest for you over at Substack. And you can, it's chapter and verse. The link is in all of my social media profiles if you don't have it at hand. And we'll have all of that up there for you. So just heartbreaking news. Heartbreaking news indeed. Now, in the meantime, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is Joe out of touch Biden, our president. Obviously, you just heard him just chucking it up at this press conference he's at now. But this is him in Canada somehow praising China by accident. Listen to this.
I applaud Canada.
Oops.
You can tell what I'm thinking.
Yeah, we can tell what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're pro-China.
Yeah.
I mean, what else? How else can we? What other conclusion is there based on his actions other than he's pro-China?
We've got to course correct. We have to course. Thankfully, we got an election coming up. I say that because it's like, thankfully, we have an election coming up. Oh, also, that means you got to go through the whole election process, which I love. But there's a lot of, look, for my friends on the right, don't make enemies out of allies. It's a primary. It's dumber than a football bet to be so tribal in a primary. All right, folks, I'll be on Jesse Waters' program tonight in the 6 p.m. Central hour, and I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. God bless. Our prayers are with Nashville and Mississippi.